Gump died. He stood in front of St. Peter at the pearly gates. St. Peter said, "Welcome, Forrest. We've heard a lot about you." He continued, "Unfortunately, it's getting pretty crowded up here, and we find that we now have to give people an entrance examination before we let them in to heaven." "Okay," said Forrest. "Hope it's not too hard. I've already been through a test. My mama used to say, life is like a final exam. It's hard." "Yes, Forrest, I know. But this test has only three questions. Here they are. Which 2 days of the week begin with the letter T?" "Well, sir," said Forrest, "the first one is easy. Which 2 days of the week begin with the letter T? Today and tomorrow." St. Peter looked surprised and said, "Well, that wasn't the answer I was looking for, but you have a point. I give you credit for that answer." "The second question, how many seconds are in a year?" Forrest answered, "How many seconds in a year?" 12. 12, said St. Peter, surprised and confused. "Yes, sir. January 2nd, February 2nd, March 2nd. St. Peter interrupted him. "I see what you mean. I'll have to give you credit for that one, too." "And the last question," said Forrest. "What is God's first name?" What is God's first name was the last question. What's God's first name?" Forrest answered, "It's Andy." "Andy," said St. Peter in shock. "How did you come up with Andy?" "I learned it in church," said Forrest. "We used to sing about it." And Forrest broke into song. "Andy walks with me, Andy talks with me, Andy tells me I am his own." St. Peter opened the gate to heaven and said, "Run, Forrest, run." Today is the first Sunday of a new year. So I want to begin 2018 by asking you a question. Of all the different people you have to choose to follow in this world, of all the different kinds of leaders the world has offered, why have you chosen to follow a first century Palestinian Jew named Jesus from the little nowhere town of Nazareth? It's not a rhetorical question. Pardon? "Because he was kind," says Beth. Light of the world illuminates things. Pardon? He made better decisions.
Love.
Okay. Pardon? To treat others. So the golden rule, treat others as they would treat us.
Feels right.
Feels right. What is it about Jesus that feels right?
Incredible wisdom.
Forgiveness.
Trust.
Healer. Love.
Peace.
He's a good example.
Hope.
Gives hope.
Compassion.
These are some of the things that we're going to be talking about on Saturday, January 27th, when we gather our first part of knowing who we are as a whole congregation. Is exploring our values, and we've just named some values, what it is that we value and what we want Knox to stand for and be for in our community. Great values that you've named. In our stories today, people are so engaged by the person of Jesus and his vision for the world. They're so engaged by that they leave their old way of being and begin to follow him wherever he goes. In our stories today, they seem a little jumbled, but they're all stories about people who just leave their old lives and start following the person of Jesus. He passes by a tax collector named Matthew, who he invites to follow him. And we are told Matthew immediately leaves his job and comes to follow Jesus. Leaves his good, secure job where he can count on an income to support his family, and he just gets up, follows Jesus, this itinerant messenger. A woman named Mary is so enthralled by Jesus' teachings that she leaves her traditional role as a woman in that society, breaks the rules of her culture in which only males learn and discuss high spiritual truths and study Torah, frustrates her sister to no end in order to become a student of Jesus, something a woman just didn't do in that time. Rabbis, teachers didn't teach women. They only taught young men. A woman by the name of Joanna, who was a wife of Herod's steward, decides to leave her life serving the Roman government to come and follow Jesus. A woman named Susanna, who we know nothing about but her name, and a woman named Mary from Magdala, who all we know about her, she suffered from illness of body, mind, and spirit. It's said that she suffered from, Jesus exercised 7 demons, which is to say she had a lot of stuff going on in her life. She was very ill, whether it's of the mind or of the body. And he heals Mary of Magdala, and she chooses to follow him right to the end. She's the only person who the gospel names is with Jesus right to the end. She's at his tomb in the 4 gospels. She's the only one that's named all 4 times. Jesus calls some brothers who are fishing to leave their jobs to come and follow him, and they do, just like that. Jesus talks about the 12 who followed him and the 70 whom Jesus called and taught and whom he sent out that first followed him. What was it about this Jewish peasant that captivated people so much so that they left everything they had known, risked everything to follow in his ways? We talked about it in our Bible study this week. I love gathering together on Wednesday mornings and just pouring over these scriptures and coming up with all sorts of ideas. We talk about our lives, about the stories, about their impact. And what we came up with was 2 conclusions. First, people followed Jesus because they felt a love and acceptance and compassion emanating from him that they had never experienced before in any other leaders. So they wanted to spend time in his presence. They felt in him a wisdom, an acceptance, an understanding, a compassion, a kindness, a gentle courage, an integrity, a fearlessness, a hope in this man so expansive that they wanted to be like that too. And isn't that what we want? My hope is that throughout my lifetime, I can learn to become the best human I can be, modeled after Jesus. A human with the Spirit of God living in me as fully as it lived in Jesus. To become my best self, the soul that emerged from the womb of God, where all of us come from. Did you know that in Hebrew, the word womb and compassion is the same word? So when Jesus says, be compassionate, even as your God in heaven is compassionate, he's saying, be womb-like, even as your God in heaven is womb-like. In other words, help to give birth, not only to your own soul, but to the lives of others. Help other people's lives to be more whole. Be midwives for people and their lives. Help people give birth to themselves. That's what it means to be compassionate. When we are acting out of compassion, we are giving birth to something good and whole and holy. When we humans are at our best, it's because we're living in a state of compassion. About 3 or 4 days before Christmas, a woman came to our doors, to the office, and said, I've just left my partner, who hasn't been acting like a good person, and I've brought my daughters, and we're going to go live in a hotel. But we don't have the resources, but I've got to get away. So because of the minister's discretionary fund, we were able to help her get into a hotel. And then I invited her to come to church, and she did. And then she came to our supper on Christmas Day. That's and when I told somebody from the church that she'd come and that she didn't have, because I said to her, have you made any preparations of Christmas for your daughters? And she said, no, well, I haven't had time. We've just been living in this crisis. So I happened to see one of the members of our congregation here, told her about them. She went out, bought gifts for the mom and the two children. So when she came on Christmas Eve morning at 10 a.m., I was able to give her a giant bag of gifts from this congregation, from this one member of our congregation, to give to this family. That's what this congregation is all about. That's what you're all about, this incredible compassion and love. That's what it means to follow Jesus. As my professor of systematic theology reminded us every day in seminary, he said, Jesus was not about morality. The church turned Jesus into this moralist with the rules and regulations of how to be in the church or outside the church, how to act morally. He said, but Jesus was not about the rules, this story tells us. Jesus didn't sit with the rule makers. He kept breaking all the rules. He was all about, our professor said, about compassion, learning to live above morality. The ethic of compassion is higher than morality because experiencing the power of love changes us. Criticism doesn't change us. Judgment doesn't transform us. Rules don't keep us in line. Only love and compassion has the power to do that. I knew a woman who had grown up. Her story that she shared was that her mother wanted to abort her from the time she found out she was conceived. She said, but she ended up having me, and she said, I never felt loved by anyone in my family. I was abused and used. Then I met my husband, and he loved me so completely, so wholly, so fully, that I was able to become a person of great love and compassion. And she was a wonderful secretary that worked in a school, and she loved those students, and they loved her. She said, my husband loved me to such a degree, I was able to become a loving person. Love transforms us. That's why people followed Jesus. Love makes us whole. It completes us. And the second reason that people followed Jesus was because he was a visionary leader who cast a compelling vision of the way God wanted the world to be rather than the way it was. And when people heard about the good news of the kingdom of God, as opposed to the harsh reality of the kingdom of the world, a world of violence and competition and cruelty, they wanted to have a part in creating that new world. And so Jesus invited them to become a part of a new kind of humanity that would exist in this new kind of community in which all the brokenness of their lives and of their world felt whole, holy. Jesus wasn't like John the Baptist, who preached fire and brimstone and repentance, who had his students fast. Jesus entered into the joy of living and of feasting and celebrating and of loving and of caring and of everyone having enough and of peace. Jesus wasn't like other leaders of the day who gathered around them the religious and the educated elite and the well-off and the respectable. Jesus invited people who were ill and despised and regarded as of little value and worth. He chose the most unlikely people to become a part of this new community, reminding them that they are loved of God. He regarded nobodies as somebodies, every one of them. And by doing that, he turned them into leaders for this new world. Jesus had a compelling vision for a new kind of community in which everyone was included and no one was left out except those who chose to be. A community rooted in compassion for one another. On Christmas Day, I witnessed the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven at Knox United. 30 plus of us spent time in a very diverse community of people, single and married, gay and straight and trans, homeless and well off, young and old, married and divorced and separated. We are a wonderfully diverse mix of humanity. And there was feasting and laughter and a wonderful spirit of generosity and warmth and compassion and acceptance. It was the community of the kingdom of God on earth as it is heaven, as Jesus envisioned it. And we lived it. And I see you living it all the time. You know how to live it. In Bible studies, when we gather and we share the story of our lives, the kingdom of God is there. In the Saving Jesus group, as we're sharing and figuring out what do we want to do with our lives, the kingdom of God is there. That's the wholeness center. The wholeness center is just a new word for the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So when you ask me, what is your vision of a wholeness center? That's it. That we live out that community as Jesus first intended it to be. That we love and care for one another. And that we care and have compassion for everyone in the world. Bill Hybels is a minister who started Willow Creek Church. And he started it out of a vision that a professor gave to him. The professor simply gave him and all of the other students the vision of the kingdom of God on earth as it is heaven. He said, what would it be like if your church actually lived out that early Christian community of the disciples gathered together and sharing out of their own whatever they had to care for one another. And that it had no barriers, no limits to that. That everyone who wanted to be included was included. That if you were Buddhist, you were part of that community. If you were Muslim, you were part of that community. If you were Asian, if you were of African descent, if you were First Nations, if you were white, European, whatever. That you were part of that community. It didn't matter. No rules, no barriers. The only rule was the rule of love and compassion and acceptance. Bill Hybels said, he gave us such a vision. He said, I was on fire. I wanted to go out and create that community. And he did. Willow Creek has 20,000 members. And it's not the numbers, it's the spirit of the place. That's what's so compelling. And he says, a vision is a picture of the future that produces passion. On Saturday, January 27th, we're inviting you, the facilitation team, who have been commissioned by council to be a gathering of folks who are just going to facilitate conversation, to come here in this place, to have a luau together, a Hawaiian luau, start off with a party, to be fed, then we get in a boat, and we go on this wonderful voyage through the Gulf Islands. However, a storm comes up, and we're tossed to and fro, and our boat is shipwrecked, and we end up on a deserted island, and we need to start a new community. We need to start a new church. What are the foundational values that are going to be the basis of that community? What values do we want to stand on? What are our core? What's at our core about what we value? What is of great worth? It's going to give us focus. And then we're going to gather a few weeks later. We're going to do a whole bunch of different things. But one of the last things we're going to do is say, what is the picture you have for Knox? What is the picture? What's happening at Knox? What's it look like? What are we doing here? What is our purpose? Because when we have clarity of focus, a shared vision, we can do amazing things. We already are doing amazing things. In 1976, a follower of Jesus by the name of Millard Fuller left his very successful business career because he felt compelled to help families who were poor and could not afford housing. He found others who shared his passion, his vision for families that could own their own home, and together they started Habitat for Humanity. Then Jimmy and Rosalind Carter heard about his vision and they became supportive, and now Habitat for Humanity has built over 1 million homes in our world in over 70 countries. When people get clear on their values, when they become inspired by a shared vision, anything becomes possible. So we're inviting you into conversation to sort through what are the values we stand on. And what is our picture, our vision of who Knox is in Oceanside? When we can do that and are clear, as Jesus' followers were clear, as Jesus was clear, we can change the world. We can change us. We can become that new humanity that Jesus dreamed of. Amen.